are good? You're sure? You're very, very sure? You're expectant for today? So am I, eh? You know, I was telling people that the people I meet often, I was telling them that people don't realize that they witness miracles every time they come here. And one of the miracles they witness is the fact that I will come without a prepared sermon. You understand? Eh? No, you didn't know that? You thought I prepare? No. And we just come, eh? And we pick the atmosphere and go with it. Eh? So there are things that you see that are just miracles. For example, picking scriptures. Eh? There was someone who was telling me before I came here, they said, it looks so easy. I said, one day I'll send you there. And I don't want these things, I'll tell you Friday, 3 p.m. And you just go. And first of all, you see some people looking at you and saying, who is this? That's intimidation, number one. Then after that, you just get, you'll see how it is. Eh? But by the grace of God, we come here simply with ourselves. Eh? But we do not come alone. Eh? Praise the living God. Eh? I want to encourage you that irrespective of how it seems, you are moving. Huh? You are moving. There's a movement taking place. You know, often before you see something manifest in the physical, it has happened in the spirit long before it happened in the physical. When you see a man or a woman rise, in the realm of the spirit, people don't rise, actually not even in the realm of the spirit, on earth, naturally. No man rises by accident. People rise in the spirit by revelation, on earth on purpose. Praise the Lord. So no one just rises by accident. We rise, men rise on purpose. Now, it's easy to rise. It's something else to sustain that height. And it's impossible to sustain height absent of a spirit. You're with me? So, when men want to make progress, when you want to move from one level to another, there are barriers in the natural and in the spiritual that you'll have to break into in order to reach the place that you want to go or where God wants to get you. There are barriers. There are barriers in the natural, for example, of education. Education is a barrier. So you go and apply for a job and someone will tell you you don't qualify because they've set up the qualifications to get the job. Eh? And so that could be a barrier in the natural. But for the spiritual man, it's not a barrier. I'll explain that someday. So there are physical barriers, but there are barriers. For example, there could be barriers of health. There could be barriers of location. I know someone who used to pray, Lord, why wasn't I born in America? Okay? So the location to you can be a barrier. In the spirit, there are also barriers. Now, this is important you understand, that there are various barriers that when you need to move from one level to the next, you need, number one, to know exactly what you're doing, or if you don't know what you're doing, someone needs to help you. All right? I have to explain this, that as you progress in life and you get to the highest echelons of society, what happens is that there are people in the spirit called gatekeepers. They're gatekeepers, people who guard certain realms so that men cannot enter by chance. And they are both demonic and angelic. They are gatekeepers that are actually demonic. They stand at a place, and the only way they can be removed is if someone of a higher authority dethrones them. They are gatekeepers in fashion. I can assure you they are gatekeepers in politics. Okay? Every leader you see on the face of this earth had to have met a gatekeeper. Every leader of a country. And I'm not talking about in their minds. The more powerful a nation, the higher the chances that the person met a spirit to take over that nation. So they're gatekeepers in the realm of the spirit. They're barriers you need to cross. If you do not know what you're doing, you will reach a place, I call it a plateau. You just rise and you're on one level until someone helps you. Okay? Yes. Praise the Lord. Eh? Now, I want you to understand that the ministry of the teacher, just like the prophet, gets you into the realm of encounter. That's how your eyes are opened with the prophetic. He gets you, whether you know it or not, from the realm of no encounter into the realm of one. That's what the prophetic does. The teaching transitions you from the realm of information to the realm of understanding. Specifically, the realm of answers. Praise the Lord. Eh? Are you with me? Eh? So that when we find ourselves in situations where you have something around your life that seems to be blocking you, but you have no idea what it is. Ideally, when you attend ministry, your eyes are being opened. And I've told people before that you never really realize that your eyes have opened until you go back to the people who don't attend. And then you find yourself correcting them. Someone says something like, they're reading something that is saying, oh my God, you have to be careful with this because cancer. I said, no. Amen. You don't realize that while you were sitting in ministry, you are being transitioned. But you felt nothing, saw nothing. No one talked to you and said, Kat, let me transition you. You just sat. And that's why I've taught in the past that understanding in scripture can also be a miracle. Because the Bible says that Jesus sat with his disciples when he came back after he had died and resurrected. No, he actually had died. He comes back 40 days, sits with them, and the Bible says, and he opened their understanding. It's a miracle. Eh? Okay. Please, listen carefully to what I'm saying. You know, in heaven, there is a throne. I pray one day you see it. In heaven, there is a throne. On that throne, there is a being. That being is uncreated. All right? The only one in all creation, the uncreated being, who sits on a throne. Psalms 104 verse 2 says, he wraps himself in light. Actually, to be more specific, it says unapproachable light. Now, that's a mystery in and of itself, because what that scripture is saying is that you will see God on the throne, approach, see light, and not be able to approach. But what's hindering you is not yet God. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Eh? Because he's wrapped in unapproachable light. He is the one who is wrapped. The light is not yet him. Praise the Lord. And yet, here's the mystery. The Bible then goes on to say, in the New Testament, it says that God is light. Give me 1 John. Chapter 1, verse 5. You see, it's not easy, is it? This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So imagine, he has wrapped himself in a light that is unapproachable. And yet, he himself is a light in distinction that is different from the light he has wrapped himself with. Amen. Amen. Do you know, you will all see it, that there are degrees of light. And as you get closer to that throne, the light you saw before seems dimmer. Okay? So God wraps himself in light. There's a being sitting on a throne. Here's the mystery. Scripture also says that even though he's seated on a throne, he says of himself, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Huh? So it's not just the throne he's seated on. He's bigger than what you're seeing. You will see it. I wish you will see it. I've only seen it once. That once is enough. Enough to give you an imprint. He wraps himself in light. He says, the heavens, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Around that God are beings. Remember last week we talked about dignitaries? I want you to understand that the closer you get to God, you find beings there, some that have never been on earth. They've never been on earth. Their rank is far beyond what you can fathom. And the authority is far beyond what you can fathom. There are beings at the throne of God that, because of the virtue of their rank, only appear once in a while. And when they do, it's a sign something has changed. They're not your, oh my God, I've seen an angel. With all due respect. They're not your, oh my God, I've seen an angel. Okay? These beings, in and of themselves, are beings of light. But a light that is reflecting God's light. You're with me? We're heading somewhere. Now, when God created these beings in the heavens, many of them, though we have examples of a few in the Bible, the beings that he created them expressing a dimension of himself. So God does not just create. Remember, there's a message I taught on the nature of God, and I was explaining that if you look through the Bible, you'll understand that the animals on earth are reflection of the soulish characters of men, and plants are a reflection of the spirit characteristics of men. So, for example, it says, as wise as a serpent. Now, wisdom there is a function of soulish wisdom, and he brings out serpent. And so on and so forth. Anyway, I don't want to go into that. So in the same way, God created these beings in the heavens. And when he created them to express various dimensions of himself. So he creates a Gabriel. Gabriel meaning strength of God. Okay? So Gabriel is an expression of a dimension of God called strength. You'd think it would be Michael. You're with me? Huh? So, the idea is that every time you see Gabriel, when you see him, and you will see him, yeah, the expression you get is strength. Michael means like God. Oh, let me just leave that one. Let me leave it. Huh? But you find an angelic being standing before you, and it's like you've met God himself. Mimic God. We'll explain that some other day. There's an angel created in the Bible. Give me Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. We're going to go through there and see where the Spirit leads us. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne. Let me first stop there for a moment. Lucifer is a being. Lucifer means light bearer. The fact that he's the light bearer, meaning there's a dimension of God that he had that had to do with light. You're with me? But notice he's light bearer, he's not the light. Okay? And there's a lot we can touch about that. But so, he captures a dimension of God that is, frankly, it reflects light. One of the things you'd see about him is light. It's for that reason that even after he fell, Scripture says that it's Satan who can masquerade as an angel of light. Doesn't say every being, every spirit. Eh? It doesn't say every spirit. It says Satan. It says no wonder. That's what Paul uses. Satan himself can masquerade as a being of light. Because he was once one. And you get me? So he knows how to manipulate it. Yeah? Praise the Lord. You're with me? And so God creates this being. And scripture says here, I will exalt my throne. He had a throne. Now, last week we were talking about courts. And I really didn't want to. There's a lot we could have shared about that. But when you see a throne, and a being in the Bible is sitting on one or had one, they had the capacity to sit in a place of judgment. You know, contrary to common belief, not everyone who gets born again goes and sits on a throne. You know, people read the scriptures in the Bible and you know, let me read for you a scripture. Thank you, Lord. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. In other words, if you don't fall in that category. Not my scripture. Eh? God is speaking. Even as I also overcame and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. It doesn't say on. You read that? It doesn't say on. It says in. That's another sermon all by itself. So Lucifer here had rank. In Isaiah, he's called the covering cherub. In Ezekiel 28, he's not called just the covering cherub. He's called the anointed cherub. Okay? So this is a person who has rank. The only being in the Bible, as far as we know, referred to as an anointed cherub. Now, he has light. And he has a throne. He's a dignitary in the realm of the spirit. He is brought down. And from the time that he is brought down, there are two opposing forces. There's a kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of light. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul writing says, God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So there was a transition. There are two contrasting kingdoms that have been at war. And listen to me carefully. The centerpiece of God's plan, not just for earth, but for the entire universe, is the planet earth. The centerpiece of God's plan is the planet earth. Because the devil knows that, the earth is just as valuable to him. Because who wins? Huh? The final battle is dependent on what happens on earth. According to the devil. Because God can either win with many or conquer with few. But in the end, praise the living God. And so there was this. The kingdoms, the two kingdoms are fighting. You know, if you come onto earth, countries have agendas. Leaders have different agendas. They have different plans for the future. But in the realm of the spirit, irrespective of all the agendas you have, there are only two agendas. One of darkness and one of light. Only two. All these other agendas either fall in one of those, whether you believe or not. When people have gained rank on earth, they become fathers over territories. When you become a father over a territory, you cover it. Demonic or divine? Huh? When a person becomes a father over a territory, they are a principality. Because humans can be principalities as much as the angels. You know that? They can. Now, I want you to understand why the Lord is taking us this direction. I want you to understand something. That yes, there are two kingdoms that are constantly fighting each other with two different agendas. And in the middle of it all is the human being. Now, I need to touch something that's important. If you've been here around, you've heard me say that in the spirit world, just like in the natural, there is an economy. There is a spiritual economy, just like there's a natural one. And in that spiritual economy, trade takes place. And we explained in the past that trade in the realm of the spirit is a trade in souls. as well as other things. According to Revelation 18, verse 13. All right? So there's a trade in souls. Now, it even goes on now. There's a market. Jesus said, what does it profit a man? Profit, business language. To gain the entire world, meaning you can trade in the world and lose his soul. Okay? So there's a transfer, there's a transition, there's a buying and selling of souls, there's a market for it. A pure market for it. Now, what that means, what Jesus was saying is that in the realm of the spirit, everything on earth has value, but nothing is more valuable than your soul. Both for the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And one day I'll touch this in detail when the Lord allows me, but the way people trade in souls is there are people who actually give up their souls, then trauma. Is it trauma or trauma? The enemy can use trauma. Let me leave it. But he can use trauma. So when someone has gone through something and they're heartbroken and so on and so forth, a lot happens there if you allow him. That's why the Bible constantly says, guard your heart. Yes. There are people trapped like that. But they're not here in Jesus' name. Yes. Now, so there's a trading of souls and your soul has value. Your soul has value. Do you know what they use? Because I was telling someone that and they told me, but Rabbi, what surely does the devil want with my soul? And I explained that there are many reasons, which I won't go into now, but the dark world is capturing souls, partly, because there are other reasons, for cloning. I know what I'm talking about. Eh? There are souls of actual human beings being taken and being prepared to be implanted in a clone. Because you know that science can produce a clone, but can't produce a spirit. You know that? Okay. Okay. So you know that, eh? Anyway, so your soul is valuable. Now, remember I said that God wraps himself in light. He's a God of light. But then he turns when he comes on earth. Give me, before that, Isaiah chapter 60. Let's read that, eh? From verse 1. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. This is not a theological statement, and I'm going to help you understand it. This is a powerful, powerful statement. The Bible says, John chapter 1, let's start verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Going up to verse 9. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Let me first pause there for a moment. Do you know that John the Baptist went in the wilderness to baptize, and his only purpose for baptizing was to look for that light? You know that? Now I'm telling you, because every time he would baptize someone, he would look. Nope, not you. Nope, not you. We know it's true because he never baptized again after he baptized Jesus. Job done. Oh, praise the Lord. And so, one day, he's there baptizing, not you, not you. Then he sees someone come. He says, behold the Lamb who taketh away the sin of the world. And the Bible says that Jesus was baptized, and as he baptized, he prayed, which probably other people are not doing. They just went there, baptize me, shua, get out, shua. And so the Bible says, and as he was praying, John testifies. And he saw, and behold, he saw a dove. The Spirit of God come down like a dove upon him. And you understand? Now I'm going to explain what happened there. And so, verse 8, He was that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Go on. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This statement is profound. What it is saying is that there is a false light. Isn't it saying that? It's saying that. Eh? That was the true light. Okay? Luke chapter 11 and verse 35. Luke 11 and verse 35. Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. There is a false. There is a false light. You with me? Oh, dear God. Now, so the true light comes, which John wanted to bear witness of. And that light did not come just to shine in the darkness. I have a lot of scriptures just popping into my heart. Isaiah 9, verse 1. It says, in the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, it says, the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Verse 2, it says, the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath a light shine. Now, this scripture is referring to the coming of Jesus, but it can also refer to the coming of you. Imagine that. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light and you're there. Praise the Lord. Now, very, very important you understand what's happening here. That there is a great light. That light is a true light. There is a false light. Take heed that the light in you is not darkness. Now, when the devil fell, being a manipulator of light, he can bestow upon men a false light. I'm going to explain to you what that means. Can I? The scripture we read in the book of John, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. Please understand that when light, the way in which light expels darkness, it expels it in dimensions. Spiritual light expels darkness in dimensions. What are those dimensions? There are many, but I'm going to give you three major ones. Light in the spirit can stand for the first category, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. The second category, light can stand for manifestation. The third category, light can stand for glory, weight. Now, I'm going to give you examples because you see, when your light increases, it increases in either one or all those categories. There are people who increase in manifestation. That is a light growing. People who increase in understanding, that is light growing. And people increase in glory, weight. You see, the scripture says that two lights, remember the first category I told you, is that light can be knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Daniel chapter 5, verse 10. This is a situation where a hand has just appeared and wrote on a wall. Eh? Everyone is confused. And the Bible says, now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let me first stop there for a moment. She walks in, and in those days the custom was, the moment you see the king, you tell him, O king, live forever. I'd like to take note that he died that night. Just taking note, just aside, that night he died, eh? I thought there's a reason for that, but no, okay. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Verse 11. And he says, there is a man in thy kingdom. May they say that about you? May they say that about you in your territory? In whom is the spirit of the holy gods? He says, and in the days of thy father, light, and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, The king, I say, thy father, made master of magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Very important what happens here. Scripture is saying that Daniel, by this time, by the way, by this time, the man was 60 years old. He was in retirement. Akoye. And this king is having an issue and had even forgotten about him. Probably didn't even know him. But the wife did. And he says, this is important. First of all, there was a light that was seen in him. A light that was seen in him. And scripture says here, it says that he was put over, made master of magicians. Magicians are crafters. Spiritual crafting, but from the dark world. And astrologers, people who can read the stars. Okay? Chaldeans, people who had a tradition of getting wisdom through ancient artifacts. And soothsayers is another way of saying people who could see the future. And here's a man of God. And the Bible says he has risen so high in rank that his light shines brighter than their light. You getting what I'm saying? Now, he had captured the knowledge of God. Because please understand that there is a wisdom that the dark world has. There is a wisdom that earth has, and there's a wisdom of God. Of those three, the lowest is the wisdom of men. The lowest. You see, God does not refer to the wisdom of the devil as foolishness. Yeah? He refers to the wisdom of men. He says it is foolishness unto God. Okay? So the categories of wisdom. And here is a man who has risen so high in rank in the spirit that he has gone above the wisdom of people who are tapping into spirit. You're with me? Do you know what it means to be above someone who can make a snake turn into wood in front of your eyes? To put you above that person, you must be able to do it better. You get what I'm saying? Because you see, remember what I told you? Light first shows itself in the sense of wisdom and understanding, the first category, and knowledge. And so here is a man who has risen, and his wisdom, his light in the area of wisdom and understanding is far above these guys. He's a father. You see, let me tell you something. When you rise and your light begins to increase, you become a father in degrees. But the Bible sadly says the fathers are few. Now, I need to touch Genesis 45 and verse 8, I believe. This is Joseph speaking, eh? He says, so now it was not you that sent me hither. He's talking to his brothers. But God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh. Joseph is saying God has made him father to Pharaoh. Now, he's not talking in the natural. He's saying whether Pharaoh knows it or not, he's above him. You get what I'm saying? That's why in the natural you need to realize that a man can be lower in position but higher in spiritual rank. You can have a boss in office, but you outrank him. You get what I'm saying? You are father. You get what I'm saying? So that's what it's saying here. Joseph had risen, and you know, the interesting thing is that if you read through the story, the king says, I will make you second only to me. But here, a guy is saying, I'm father of even Pharaoh. Whether Pharaoh knows it or not, something happened in the spirit. Go back to Daniel, chapter 5, verse 11, if you've forgotten. And so, here in this story, a hand has appeared. Let's go to verse 12. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting dreams, showing of hard sentences. Are you hearing this guy? And dissolving of doubts. In other words, if you come, I don't know what my future holds. Just meeting him, dissolve doubt. May that be your portion in Jesus' name. Doubt has come and become believers. And he says, dissolving of doubts. Another version says, all doubts, all. Then it says, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called. Now see this faith. And he will show the interpretation. Not he might. You understand? She's seen enough to know this man is no ordinary man. Her expression and her understanding was the spirit of the holy gods. What she's saying is that the Holy Spirit is in him. Now, scripture says an excellent spirit was on him. You know, as you get closer to God, there are spirits you attract of the realm of the spirit that land on you. Here, one that landed on him was this excellent spirit. An excellent spirit is not just dressing nice. It's not just doing things right. One of the angles or dimensions of an excellent spirit is the ability to be relevant to both people in height and people in depth. In other words, the poor find you relevant. The rich find you relevant. You cut across. That is an excellent spirit. It rests upon a person, and the rich man comes, says, looks for your advice. Just like the poor man finds you relevant. May you receive an excellent spirit. Oh my God. Do you know that you know your light is increasing? Not by the number of people that come to you, but by the quality. Do you know what? She said, but Rabbi, you're saying they're poor quality people. I'll tell you. Huh? Imagine you're just there. You're seated and they say, Carol, the general is looking for you. Whether you like it or not, by virtue of the office he occupies, the quality of the person coming to you has increased. You see, because Daniel here, it was a king looking for him. A king. That scripture, kings shall come to the brightness. Are you? He's just expressed it, showed it, all him retirement. But all the magicians, let me tell you a secret. Job chapter 33 and verse 14 to 15, very famous scripture on dreams. One day we shall teach intensively on interpretation of dreams. For God speaketh once, yet twice, yet men perceive it not. Verse 15. And he says, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. Verse 16. Then he opens the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. Very important you understand that there are times God will give someone something and seal it. Now, sealing there does not just mean that it has been put in your spirit and it can't be removed. That's not what it means. Sealing there means it has been shrouded in mystery. And God often does that to show you that you must go to someone greater to unlock it. Are you with me? So what? And God does it a lot. What he had done to these guys, a hand appeared, wrote, he sealed. And so he seals it. And guys, look, they go into the spirits, even the spirits in the spirit realm. Cannot interpret what the hand has written. And here comes a man who was not present when the hand was writing. Walks and says, this is what the hand that appeared wrote. No one in the Bible tells him, by the way, Daniel, there was a hand that appeared. This is why sometime back I told you that there are people, there are councils in heaven that occur. And Daniel is meeting God and says, you know what, why don't you send a hand? Then he goes back to his room. Then they call for him and he comes and he says, the hand that appeared. There are people on this earth to whom breaking news does not exist. May that be your portion. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. And so, here, God sealed the interpretation. And the man comes. I want to give you a principle you should never forget. In the natural, you can interpret something by learning. In the spirit, To interpret things, you must be greater than them. You cannot interpret what you're not greater than. I am telling you. That's why a person can have a dream. Another one is looking for dream dictionary. Trying to interpret. One comes, looks at it, and it's plain English to him. Because he has grown where he can interpret that thing because he's greater than it. May God make you greater. In the name of Jesus. Eh? Okay? Praise the Lord. Are you with me? God can seal things. And what that scripture actually also means is that, you know, there are dreams you try your very best to interpret, you will never be able to, no matter who you go to, until their season comes. I know what I'm talking about. That's why you will see a man of God come as he's interpreting a dream. He says, that one is not for now. And you think, just the ability to know that this is not its season. Just that, bow. Because for you, you just listen to a dream and say, now, what? The cow means you can't tell season. So respect men. That's what you call rank. Huh? Praise the Lord. In the spirit, you cannot interpret something you're not greater than. And if you do interpret it, someone greater must have helped you. Praise the Lord. And so here we see the light of Daniel overshadowing the light of soothsayers, magicians, Chaldeans, overshadowing them because he had tapped into a wisdom that is much higher. Are you with me? Praise the living God. And so that's why if you go back to the story of Exodus, we're not going to go there. The Bible says that as Moses is before these magicians who later in the New Testament, they are named as Jannes and Jambres. Huh? These two chaps who come before and they're trying to change the sticks into snakes. And not trying, they did it. That is spiritual crafting. Huh? And so, we'll teach this just as a topic of its own. Huh? God tells Moses, put your hand in your coat. Remove it. It has leprosy. He puts it back. It's gone. He's teaching him his spiritual craft. And so the same is true of Ezekiel because scripture says he appears to Ezekiel and he says, speak to the bones. He's teaching him a craft. He goes to Isaiah. He says, what do you see? Isaiah says, I see a pot. He says, you have seen well. Then says, this pot represents this. In other words, your seeing is not yet done. God teaches men crafts. And there's no one here who does not have a spiritual craft. None. You know, I like watching, I used to, nowadays I don't do it, but I used to like to watch these cartoons, X-Men and so on, eh? People with superpowers. Eh? And I was always amused by the chap who was so ordinary, and then one day discovers they've had this power all this time. That's how many Christians are. Many! Huh? And one day, the Lord will open your eyes to show you the demons that usually try to come around to try to, you know, it's like, There's a time in school I found myself in a fight. Why leave this? Why are you laughing? I tell you. Yes. You know what we used to do? Wisdom. The wisdom of men. What we would do if a guy is bigger than you and this guy was much bigger than me. And so what we would do, you tell your friends, I'm going to go slap him. Then you come and you hold him. Hey, relax, relax. That's what you do. So you just slap, then people come. Ah, then you go. Because naturally we'd know if I looked at that guy, he just needed to slap me once. And I was done. Huh? And so, in the natural, it's almost a David versus Goliath thing. There's a wisdom you have to have tapped into. So if you realize that these good guys who go around chasing you, you're bigger than them. Your light is greater than them. May God awaken you to that. Praise the living God. And so, there's an aspect of light that has to do with knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And I've shown you that Daniel, by virtue of having knowledge, was able to interpret something in a language that spirits, demonic spirits working through these people did not know. The language was a spiritual language. mind you. But the demons that are spirits did not know the language. And so he comes, interprets it, because I believe he was in some council somewhere, and says, you know, why don't you just write nyanya, nyanya? That's just a joke. Anyway, so so there's an action of wisdom. Now, there's a dimension of manifestation that I've explained to you that happened when these guys put down their sticks, and it turned into snake, and then Moses' snake swallowed up their snake. That is, when someone's manifestation has grown, it dwarfs another manifestation. And manifestation is not just being able to do miracles and so on. A person can manifest through character. And I wish there are other ways you can manifest that don't look so, what's the word? No, not spiritual. Flamboyant. Yeah, grand. But they look normal. But by manifesting. You see, I like to watch some of these fashion things. And, you know, you can, because it brings me now to the third category, where light is manifested through glory. And remember, I told you glory is weight. When Jesus showed up, John looked at him and saw something about him that just didn't seem normal. The Bible doesn't say what he saw. He just looked at him. There are people you will meet. They're dressed normal, dressed, you know, there's nothing excellent about them on the physical. But you just sit with them and you say, there's something unusual. What you're feeling is glory. And I'm talking about both the dark and the kingdom of light. Glory. Someone just comes around you and says, there's something about you. Let me show you. Because the Lord has whispered it to me. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Play for me 13. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. David. And he went out and came in before the people. Verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Verse 16. But all of Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. 17. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merab, how will I give thee to wife? This is a deep thing. Okay, let's leave it. Only be thou valiant for me and fight. And fight the Lord's battles. Fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. Lord, help me. I'm looking for the scripture. Verse 6. Thank you. It came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine. Notice that it's not Philistines plural. Eh? Which Philistine are they talking about? Goliath. That the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. Verse 7. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Let me ask you, when did David slay 10,000? That's my question to you. Because we know, the Bible says he came from killing Goliath, his first real battle. Huh? Then they're singing here, slay 10,000. What you're seeing there is an expression of glory. You understand? He's worth 10,000 men. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me show you verse 8. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000. No, he's not just angry just because they've said it, but because he hasn't actually killed 10,000. You understand? I've been around for some time, killing people left and right, Philistines, Gibeonites, what? You give me 1,000, this guy kills one person. Now, there's a secret there. When a person is strong enough to take down a principality, even if he's not involved in the lower battles, he has won. You're getting? And he says, verse 8, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he but have more but the kingdom? Now what he's saying here is that when people were singing, The thing that he saw while others are seeing was David's rank was that of taking the kingdom. It was territory. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what's worrying him. He looked at a man as people are singing, and he doesn't know it, but he's reading the glory, the weight. Even if he's 17 years old, at 17, having killed Goliath, his rank was king over a territory, even though he wasn't there yet. Now I want you to put yourself there. Put yourself in that situation, because that's where most of you are now. You're in bakery, looking for a truck, looking for partners, looking for people to sell things, and nothing is happening. Huh? But the person who can see in the spirit is looking at you and saying, this one can take the kingdom. And I wish you'd stop and begin to study the light that is within. I wish. Anyway, verse 9. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. In other words, he looked to kill him. Because once he saw something on him, he knew this guy, something has changed. There's been a trade in the realm of the spirit. I'm no longer king. There are glories. Your ability. Remember, I've said light can be wisdom, knowledge, understanding. It can be what? Manifestation. It can be glory. And as your light increases, these areas begin to increase. There is proof. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Manifestation. Of these three, manifestation is the least. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding, as well as glory, way higher than manifestation. That's why, you know, even the dark world has what we call fake glory. It's a fake glory. One rich man has spent years going into witchcraft, killing children here, what, to get his wealth. Huh? When he walks in, you feel his weight. But if the person who has done it God's way walks in, you will feel the difference. If a person whose glory was through working it out walks in, you know he's a billionaire, but when he's standing and speaking, you don't feel the weight. Because these things are spiritual. I have seen men who on this earth, you know them, a person can be worth $10 billion. The other one is worth two. But when he speaks, he weighs more than the one who has 10. And for you, you're just looking at the numbers. But how? Because one used spirit. Huh? Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Okay, verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Verse 9. So likewise, ye, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. Eh? That's deep. Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Verse 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Keep going. Bring out my point and end. Even so, ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek ye that you may excel to the edifying of the church. What he's saying is that seek an excellent spirit. Huh? You know, in this chapter, he goes on to say that there's a glory of the sun, the glory of the moon, and the glory of the stars, and each differ in glory. There are people whose weight you feel simply because of who they are attached to. You know, we used to have those people in our school. I was in an international school. I am so-and-so's son. And so people say, oh my God, that is so-and-so's son. It's not even their glory, but we do it with Jesus. I'm the son of God. Praise the Lord. That there's a glory. That's the glory of the stars and the moon. But when you reach the area of the glory of the sun, you have tapped into a secret. Light has been unveiled to you. Rank in the spirit is majorly in those three areas. Understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. Ability to manifest and glory. I'm telling you, you will enter the heavenlies. You will know a man of rank. You will know him. It's for this reason why we are sent into territories and why Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. He says, yet let your light so shine that men shall see your good works. He's there talking about a manifestation. You make sure that the light in you is not darkness. And that's not just talking about witchcraft. It's saying that you can actually get the light that is of the world and bring it into the church. You know, I like to go through Facebook, especially on Sundays, and just pick random church services. Sometimes painfully sit there and listen. Because my aim is not to judge, but to see how far we are. As a church, how far we are in this nation. I say, Lord, you know the prayers we have, Lord. And so I watch. And you watch someone, and they give a beautiful sermon. If you are to give ticks, tick, 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 they've done everything right. Probably not quoted a scripture here and there, which is not a necessity. But in the middle there, they say, and God indeed is good. Huh? And so people clap. And he has given you a wisdom that if you went out to a motivational class, you would find it. And you just sit and shake your head. Because how shall we be a light to the people in darkness if we use their methods? How? These are the things that shock me. You know, I had an interesting debate with someone years back. They came to me and they told me that, you know, Daniel, God gave us a brain for a reason. And I told him, but you see, the brain is fallen. That's why scripture says it has to be renewed. And not renewed just by you thinking. You renew it with scripture. So you can't just come with the brain. You with me? You just can't come with the mind. It needs renewing. It is fallen. And so, as fantastic as the light that is of the world looks, they produce nice technology. We spent, you know, in secondary school, math used to just give me a hard time. Because I used to think I was, what's the word? Dyslexic. Yeah? That word, eh? Because I would look at the numbers and they start moving. You guys laugh. I'm telling you, some of you the numbers weren't moving, but you failed. But God has moved you from to a new glory. But I would look at the numbers and they would shift. And so the knowledge of the world, imagine. What did, in life, what have I used pulleys for? Vectors. Unless you're approaching a girl from a particular direction. Now, I'm sorry if you're a mathematician and you learned it and you're using it right. But for me, look at me, I'm standing in front of you. Vectors, I suffered. Pulleys, those things of chemistry. Putting together those. And yet now I see beyond the physical. You know, there are prayers we make, radical prayers. Lord, why did you not tell me early like Samuel? I went through things, my friend. Do you? Let me not. No, because you might quote me. But there's a paper. I thought I had got 100% in math. But the teacher had put the percentage on this side. You laugh. What are your 90s doing for you? At least the doctors. But even still, okay, history. Just who crossed the Limpopo River? Anyway, so the knowledge of the world gives you an impression that you need to be excellent in it to succeed, but a man of the spirit can jump it. And remember last time when I was telling you, as I conclude, I was telling you that there are witches, mediums, who have learned to tap things in the spirit and not be educated in the natural. The thing is this, a person can go, and people, listen to me, there's a relevancy in it. A person can go through school, go through fashion school, perfects the art, all right? If you use only natural means, you're only capable of two things, improving on what exists Or restoring to default because you've done something messed up. Anyone using, in any field, using natural means can only improve. They can't change. Spirit changes. Wherever you have seen a change in an industry, I can assure you, that person tapped into spirit, I assure you. May you change an industry in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. There's a lady, I've given a few testimony. You know, when you look at some of us, we're very chill, eh? You find me on an easy day, I'm drinking my Mountain Dew and relaxing, eh? So one time, I told a few people, there's a lady, I walked into Silver Springs up here, and there's a restaurant up here, or a bar, whatever they call it. Eh? So I'm walking in, and there's a lady seated in a corner. And she walked up to me and said, "Rabbi, my name is this." And she said, the Lord has told me to come and meet you." And I said, "It's interesting that the Lord can tell you but doesn't tell me, eh?" Anyway, now I'm telling some of you, eh, who are planning to do that, eh? But anyways, please don't do what she did. I'm just giving an example. But unless you're led, let me leave it. So she comes up to me and she holds me by the hand and says, "Man of God, I'm not letting you go." I said, "What is this?" And she says, "I've been following your ministry from a distance." I said, "There's a glory you have. I would love for you to give it to me." Now, she caught my attention. It's, you know, I understood now why Jesus says, "Never have I seen such faith." You understand? Because I wasn't in a suit. You know, some people see glory just when someone is dressed in a suit. Eh? And so, caught my attention. Eh? So, because she was causing a bit of a scene, like, "Me, I'm not letting you go." And, and the guys nearby are like, "Chinuchi." And you know, people can start, "Oh, I'm well away." But, you know. So what I said, you know what? Let's just go and sit. Eh? So we went and we sat. Eh? And so she told me, I'd like your advice because she's a minister. I told a few people. So I sat with her for an hour, took her through a few things. And then I told her, "What I have, I give you." 3 months is all it took. 3 months. I wish I could tell you who she is. One day she'll come here. 3 months, her life has just spiraled. From zero finances to finances. Her ministry is just... I sent her a message the other day. I told her, "I'm very proud of you." But you see, it takes... You know, especially for men and women of God, it takes humility to recognize when someone has something you don't. I'm telling you, takes humility. And so, that's not just for men of God and so on. When you see someone, you see, the thing with glory, unlike manifestation, that you need to learn, you need to always remember, practice is higher than learning. Practice is a higher realm than learning, because you will sit and learn and just get information. But if you go out and try and fail, that's why we tell you to turn to your neighbors and prophesy. Practice is a higher realm than learning. It's the reason why, for all the degrees you've got, in most companies, you will go and then they reteach you. Now, if you are going to do this, why did you get me from S4 and just bring me up here? Because practice is a higher realm than learning. Now, glory can be passed on. Because for me, my life, a man of God walked up to me and said, "Receive glory." That's all he said. I'll never forget. You know, I could receive glory. Prophet Elvis picked me up twice. 2 weeks. The first time, 2 weeks before, he picked me out the second time. The first time, I'll never forget that day. He said, "Come." So I went ready for, He just said, "Receive glory," and walked on. And I stayed there like this. And I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed because I thought to myself, "Even Nange, I wanted, you know, you tell me, now your mother's name is..." But I didn't know that there was something working within the works. As simple as a statement is, it can change your life. Receive glory. Receive glory. In Jesus' name, may you rise. May kings come to the brightness of your shining. in Jesus' name. Amen. You are the light of the world. Always remember that. That God has sent you into this world to expel darkness. Amen. There's someone here one time who sent me a message. There was a Lieutenant Colonel. Colonel? Is it Colonel? Anyway, there's a Lieutenant Kano saying, Rabbi, Lieutenant Kano wants to see you. I said, the quality has increased. Was it a Kano? Anyway, we'll leave it. Huh? I said, before it was, can you be able to see my Shamba boy? I said, I'll meet the Shamba boy. And you prophesy to the Shamba boy. I'm telling you, it's true, because there's a time people, you allow God to grow you. There's a time someone had lost a child. And my wife came to me and said, one of the people nearby has lost a child. We want you to locate the child. Eh? Sweat came here like this. You know, not this one that comes here, but the one that comes behind. Eh? And you start, let me first come. I have an important phone call. You talk. I said, locate the child. But Jesus. This man should know. So the person had lost the child. So I sat back. And I remember I turned to my wife after just about 15 minutes alone. And I saw. And I didn't know I could do it. You know the things you don't know? So I saw and I told her, they're going to find the child in the next few days. He's within this particular area. The father is taking a walk. Someone is taking a walk, I think. Someone was taking a walk. Just sees the kid walking. No one, I don't even know where the kid was sleeping. I don't know. Was lost for about 2-3 days. I realized inside of me there was a possibility. And the opportunity came, but I did not know that I had it within me. May God bring you opportunities to bring out the light that you never thought you knew you had. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands. Just stay seated. Lift up your hands. The Lord unlocks things that have been sealed to you. Amen. May you be greater than the things you want to interpret. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. May what is a confusion to others be plain speech to you. Amen. May you walk in and men and women see the glory that resides on you. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord has told me to remind you that one of the greatest aspects of glory, it's two-dimensional. There are others, but two-dimensional. Glory in the Bible often reflects wealth. That's why the Bible says the glory of the latter church shall be greater than that of the former. But when it's talking about the temple, it's actually talking about the temple. And the temple was made of gold. It's referring to its, when it says glory, it's referring to its wealth. So glory can be an aspect of wealth. It can be an aspect of wisdom. Where men feel your weight, you walk into a room, and the atmosphere changes because you have walked into it. Where you walk into an interview room, and a man looks at you and decides, I'm going to give this one the job. Long before you've even started the interview, because he has felt your weight. May the Lord put you on a scale and not find you wanting. You are heavy. In your area, whether it's politics, business, whether it's fashion, cakes, bakery, whether it's the area of ministry, whether it's, I don't know, name it. May they feel your weight. And the Spirit of the Lord says to me that one thing that is going to be clear to you before the year ends, and I'm talking to you and each one of you, is that your enemies shall come to your table. Amen. Your cup shall overflow. Amen. You shall feast in front of them. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. That those who spoke against you or undermined you, Amen. This light that the Lord releases in you begins to shape all things. And brings you into the forefront of all things, that it will be undeniable that you did not do it on your own, but you were backed by Spirit. in Jesus' name.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.